Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
GM Zinger Nation. My name is Logan, and this is Moon or Bust, your home for all things altcoins and DeFi. Today, we got some crazy NFT stuff going on, like you would not believe, and we're going to be breaking some crazy, crazy news. Ryan, are you excited?
I am so excited for this.
Me too, man. Let's just get right into it. So first topic of the day is the hash masks and OpenSea censoring them, delisting them for trolling Citibank. So we have with us Bowtie Narwhal here today. He is the community leader of the hash masks project. Welcome to Moon or Bust. How you doing?
Hey, thank you for having me on. And, you know, just want to clarify, like, I'm part of the Mask DAO, right? The core team that leads the community for hash masks. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So this is some huge news. OpenSea censoring the blockchain. I mean, we thought OpenSea was supposed to be decentralized,
right?
But it turns out Citibank apparently has been pulling some strings, which I really don't like. So the concept behind hash masks, they were one of the first projects that allowed the owners of the NFT to change the title, and it would actually update on the blockchain. So a bunch of these hash masks, they had clown pictures, and so people started scooping them up and renaming the clowns to these big banks just to troll them, right? So, you know, these were becoming the most valuable ones. They were really, really upsetting all of the big banks. But today it's gone to a new level, okay? So a couple of the ones that were, they're named after Citibank, they were trolling Citibank. OpenSea just took them off of their website. They completely delisted them. And Narwhal, tell us about what's going on. What are the implications? How is the community feeling about this?
Well, the clowns are pissed, right? But obviously, the hilarious thing about it is that, like, the troll actually worked, right? Like, they're so pissed that their prestige is basically out the window with a clown picture for their, you know, named after their prestigious bank is on OpenSea. You know, specifically with clowns, like, you know, it's a movement that has legs, because I think a lot of people can get behind the kind of messaging of, like, banks are zeros. Specifically, we know since Web3 is going to, you know, basically rule out the middlemen. But, you know, really, this kind of came to head. Sources say that they're working on IPO, and then maybe Citi is working on IPO. Obviously, it's just rumors. But, like, there's just nothing to prove that, you know, who said what. Like, did Citi reach out and have them delisted? But, like, they have been on, like, for a long time. So, like, why now, right?
So here's your tweet here. You wanna break it down?
Yeah, sir. So, you know, it's just a famous kind of, like, quote, right? Like, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win, right? So these are the three different clowns that have been delisted from OpenSea. And the only way that they can get listed back, right, is as if they change their name. Now, you know, we have other people that have basically changed other names to, like, Shitty Bank, right? That's not copyrighted. Like, you can't take us down for that. And there's more, like, unique ones as well. Like, there's been, obviously, it's just because of the hash mask and their, you know, NCT naming mechanism on the blockchain that can be censored. But, like, at the end of the day, right, like, TradFi has still found a way to censor decentralized artwork on the blockchain, right? And they did it through OpenSea. And so it makes sense that, you know, we all thought that OpenSea was decentralized, but clearly they're not. They're centralized. So somebody reached out, someone big reached out and had these delisted, and we're pissed about it. So we're going to make noise about it.
Man, that's crazy. Ryan, what are you thinking about this situation?
This is crazy. I'm wondering, Bowtie, do you think that these NFT owners are going to be switching the names, or do you think they're going to hold strong and maybe list it somewhere else or wait for, like, Coinbase NFT's platform to come out?
Well, I think, right, Coinbase, like, if you think about it, right, if we're, like, these like centralized firms especially Coinbase, like, don't you think they're going to kind of do the same thing? Like, they're going to bend the knee to whoever kind of reaches out to them. So, you know, I think the key about this is we're trolling them and they can't do anything about it. And they're pissed and they're having to like jump through hoops to like censor us. The main message, which is they can't stop this, right? Just like the genie's out the bottle with crypto, you cannot stop this. Like we're literally using art to protest troll banks and they can't do anything about it.
That's awesome. I think that that's a beautiful concept behind hash masks. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about it, real quick, if there's anybody out there who hasn't heard of hash masks before, do you want to just give us like a generic overview of the project?
Sure. So like hash masks is basically a collection of 16,084 pieces. Really what they were trying to do is, and honestly, you know, if you look at what the history of this project has been, like they were the first one to launch this year on the 28th. Not one of the first, but like the first to like really kick it off. Like there's a lot of projects that have taken in like inspiration from this project. But what the founders did is they basically got like 70 different artists worldwide. They haven't been released yet, the names. But they essentially got an algo and like mixed some of the pieces that they touched by hand or whatever, and then generated them. So it's a mix of man and machine. It's not just creative art. And also it was like the first one to really reach like this genre of like traditional art and the digital art, the NFT world. It's like it has like this project has the highest probability of breaching like a bridge between traditional art and NFTs. So this is what basically was about. But innovation of the project and the founders is not only the collaboration of artists and then the generative work, is the NCT. So the most rarest trait that you can give these is the name. Like if I take Elon Musk and Elon Musk wants to buy something in this collection and he's after himself, he has to buy my art piece. So it has like a certain layer of like gamification to it in terms of mysteries and complexities that it has versus like a regular kind of PFP project, which the utility is either driven by the community or the artwork itself and the fact that you can use it as your profile picture. Where in this community, you know, there's just so many things that you can go around it, but the angle for traditional art world and this, and obviously using it for protesting or trolling, uncensorable is the biggest, advantage that this project has and why it's kind of has historical significance.
Yeah. And we linked up at Scope, at Art Basel, Miami. And I think that there was a lot of interest in the project, you know, just seeing them on the wall. A lot of the more art and non-NFT people were interested in them. So it does do a good job at bridging the traditional art and the NFT space. But besides that, some of the coolest things, in my opinion, about hash masks are one, that the names are one of one. So if you name yours Citibank, no one else can name it that, right? You have to buy that one at that point if you want to claim the name. So it's kind of like ENS domains in a sense. Yep. That they're rare in that aspect. And I also like the fact that the 70 artists who helped to make this project are not yet revealed. And like say a couple of years down the road, you know, the... They become revealed and there are these crazy big artists that were you know low key the whole time. That could add a lot of value to the project later
on. For sure. And that's the whole, you know, kind of sell to the project, which is if you do the work, you know, you're gonna get rewarded, right? Like that's the whole premise in terms of figuring out like which backgrounds and which masks were done by a certain artist or. But, you know, even if like, let's say the artists are like, let's say the artists are not known, right? Like, does it really matter if it still has all this other significance to it in terms of the name change and then the artwork? And then the fact that you have this like grassroots movement starting, like, I don't know if you know, but Makai White, which is he like co-created Occupy Wall Street. He owns a hash mask. He has his PFP on Twitter. So yeah, it's awesome. It's a, you know, like I said, it's like a unique, very unique position in terms of like, this is the first project, I think the NFT project in the space that actually has a use case for like this type of like activity, right? Protesting, trolling, whatever you might call it. There's no other project that really has that. So like, I think that's what it cements itself in terms of significance. Just due to the fact that they were the first one to do dynamic name change on the blockchain. And that's for sure. That's a fact.
Narwhal, thank you so much for stopping by today. If you want to let the people know where they can connect with you or find out more about hash masks, The floor is yours.
Yeah. So thank you for having me on today. Everybody, if you want to just add me on Twitter, Bowtie, at Bowtie Narwhal. Please jump in our Discord. If you have any questions, MassDAO is the Discord, and then also the Collecta server. We have a brand, Collecta, and it has encompasses HashMass in there. But if you want to do all things community, just reach out to us on Discord at MassDAO.
Sounds great, man. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to get an update from you in the future. This is a big day for HashMasks.
For sure. For sure. Appreciate you having me on. All right, guys.
Yes, definitely. Peace out.
Have a good one.
Stopping by.
Peace.
All righty. Yeah, that's a crazy, crazy situation that has been going on. Let's talk about these Adidas NFTs real quick, and then we're going to bring on a legendary trader, good friend of ours, Trevor, in just a second here. But let me toss my screen up. So Ryan, you've been following the Adidas stuff. We've been talking about it a lot. We got a comment in the chat asking, how much do you think the floor will be? So right now they're minting at 0.2 each, and I checked the floor right before OpenSea went down, and they were like 0.6, 0.8, maybe even more. We'll have to see.
It's only the pre-sale right now, right? So only like Mutant Apes and Bored Apes and a couple other people can actually mint these right now, right?
Right, but 10,000 of them, you could see right here, 9,000 have already been minted, and that was in like the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes before they shut it down. So Mutant Apes were supposed to be able to get early access, but it turns out they messed up the whitelist. They messed up the snapshot, so none of the mutants have been able to actually claim them like they were supposed to. So
this is classism. This is classism at its finest.
I can't say I'm surprised that Adidas messed it up, but I am very disappointed. So they tweeted out 25 minutes ago, early access not closed, minting has been paused while developers investigate issues with Mutant Ape Yacht Club not being able to mint. And we saw like all the chats before they posted this was just going crazy that the mutants weren't able to get in. And now that half of them are already gone, it's going to be crazy to see how they handle the situation. I mean, clearly it's not a quote unquote fair release at this point. But yeah, we're going to stay tuned to this. And hopefully if the minting is unpaused midstream, we'll be able to update you on that and come back with some more information. I mean, I really want to try to get one myself. So we might have to make it happen midstream. We'll have to see. But the floor is at 0.07 right now. I don't even know if they're revealed, but I think the art is cool. They're like trading cards and stuff. Like, I think that, I think people are going to collect them at some point. And it also comes with access to 4 free, pieces of real clothing in the future.
Yeah. Do you think all these NFTs are going to be different? Because it seems kind of like an access token where they might all just be the same.
I think that's possible. I'm not sure, honestly, but we'll see.
I mean, I think all the value from these is going to be coming from the utility, right? And at 0.2 ETH, it's pretty expensive. Yeah. That's like $800, but you get so much merch from it. I think it's worth it, right? You get some track pants, a track suit, you get a hoodie and a beanie. And looking at the other merch for Bored Ape Yacht Club, the hoodies go for like $400 to $500. And then like the t-shirts will go for $200. So I think you can make your money back just off of the merch with this one, which is pretty cool to see. That being said, I mean, the price for this NFT might go down once you can claim that merch, right? Because then you won't be able to get it. And that's a lot of the value too. They said that they're going to release some metaverse experiences for these NFT holders too. So there could be value there. It really depends on how they execute on that. But I think most of the value is really going to be coming from this Adidas merch, which looks pretty cool. Logan, do you want to try and pull it up really quick? I don't know, maybe on Twitter or on an article, but it's the one that the ape is wearing, right? So it's that track suit, and then there's matching track pants. And then I'm most excited for the hoodie. The hoodie is sick. It's like an Ethereum address, and then there's the Bored Ape logo on it.
Yeah, so this tracksuit right here. Yeah. And then, oh, shoot. The G-Money one. Let's see if we could find it on G-Money. Okay, so this is the hoodie that you get, which is sick. It has the Ethereum address. It's got the G-Money logo, Bored Ape, Punks Comics, Adidas. And they're also doing the beanie, the orange beanie from G-Money himself. So that's hype.
Yeah, what are the odds that they actually put your Ethereum address on it? That would be so sick.
Bro, no way. I mean, I never thought about that as a possibility before.
Right when I saw it, that was the first thing I thought. But I mean, it would be a lot more expensive to do that, so I doubt it. But if they do, that would just be so cool.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Okay. I was DMing a follower, a viewer of the show on Twitter yesterday, and he made one of the craziest promises I've ever seen in my DMs. He said that if we could get 69 likes on today's stream, homie's going to get a moon or bust tattoo, bro. Homie's going to get a moon or bust tattoo. So go smash the like button right now. 69 likes, and it will be the first ever moon or bust tattoo. Permanent ink, guys. Smash the like for the most loyal moon or bust fan that I have yet to see. But yeah, we're going to keep you updated on that. We're going to check in and remind you guys in a little bit. But let's get into the trades right now. I'm bringing Trevor on. Trevor, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great today. Seeing Bitcoin going down, though, is not too good.
No, you want to break it down for us? Like, what are you thinking? You know, this morning I was pretty bearish. I really did not like the price action. I'm going to add my screen to the stream here. And if you want me to change the time frames or anything, just let me know. But you're the technical analysis god, so I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so you see, like, today we had, like, a low of Bitcoin since that flash crash back on, I think, the 3rd or 4th, right, where it hit 42,000 briefly. And today I think we hit around 45.5, which is pretty bad because it just shows that this downtrend, right, is hitting newer lows as it goes on. And you could kind of see how there's this upper trend line and then this lower trend line, right, where it follows. So if you draw it, actually, you see, like around there. And if you continue that line onwards, you'll see that it actually rejects this bottom trend line of previously. So every time that it's hitting the top of that trend line you just drew, it was the bottom of the previous one right before the flash crash. And that's pretty bad, right? It means that we're rejecting this trend line that was a previous trend, right? And then the flash crash happened. So it kind of confirms that flash crash was actually something that people thought should have happened, and people saw the price going down pretty quickly. Yeah. So as of right now, right, it's in a downtrend, and a lot of people say, oh, buy the dip. But if you bought the dip, right, there's plenty of dips that you can see on this chart where it doesn't go much higher after that. And if you don't sell it quickly, then you're just going to be losing money. In my opinion, like, until you see a bullish sign out of Bitcoin, which would be breaking out of this trend line, even retesting it and then going upwards after that, I'm not buying until I see that, just because I don't want to hold Bitcoin while it's in a downtrend, because no one knows how long that could last or that could
last. So Trevor, are you not exposed to Bitcoin at all right now then? Are you just like,
no, I'm in US dollar, just waiting for the opportunity to purchase back in when I see strength, because right now it's essentially weakness. So what I do is I'm going to wait till I see strength, and then I'll be purchasing it then. And I am, though, looking at Ethereum, right? Because Ethereum BTC, which is just like the price of Ethereum versus BTC, has been going up for a long time. And it was ranging in this range from around, if I'm looking at the chart right now, the range was from around 0.055 Bitcoin to 0.082 Bitcoin, right? And it broke out of that level after a while. So that is pretty bullish to me for Ethereum, just because the last time this happened and we saw Ethereum outperforming Bitcoin significantly, right? We saw the run up of Ethereum from 1800 to 4400. And then we saw like it drop after that, but now we're kind of seeing this trend starting to happen again. And if Ethereum continues to outperform Bitcoin, we're gonna see a lot of the altcoins as well following it. Kind of similar to the 2017 run where we saw Bitcoin peak, and then Ethereum peaked, I believe, 27 days after. So if that were the case, we would see a lot of altcoins and coins that aren't in the spotlight right now start performing very well, because there's so much after these big sell-offs, right? There's so many people who have all this money after selling that they need to put into something at some point. And so they're looking for other coins with strength to put it into. And until they do that, I would not purchase, but when you start seeing people buying these other coins, that's when you want to try to get in and make these trades that you can make pretty quick profits on if we see like a true alt season.
Trevor, you're a pretty aggressive trader. Could you overview like your general strategy?
Yeah. So, I mean, as I kind of said previously, right, you buy into strength, and there's a lot of patterns, right, that you could see in price action. And trends, right, they're meant to be broken. And so when a trend is broken, that's when you see rapid price action, rather either to the downside, right, or the upside. So like, for example, when you see that Bitcoin flash crash that you just had up, right, that was the trend broke low. So you see this quick price action downwards. And so the same thing happens. It breaks above that, right? You get very fast price action upwards. And so basically you want to be watching constantly for these trends and waiting to see, waiting for a trend to break. And then if that trend is going to go up, right, if it's breaking to the upside of the trend, then you want to be buying then, just because, the way that other people are doing it, right? When you're trading, you want to basically look at what other people are thinking. Like, the best way to trade is to look at public sentiment, look what other people are saying, and then kind of gather the public opinion, because then that allows you to make these trades based off what everyone thinks, because in the end, the price goes up when people think it's going to go up and down when people think it's going to go down. And so you want to basically develop that mindset where you think like everyone else and then use that to make good trades.
So when you say you're gathering the sentiment, are you gathering the sentiment of, you know, the Facebook Shiba Inu traders, or just like the elite crypto Twitter traders? How general do you go?
So honestly, I like looking at news articles, and like even like Reddit is good, because it gives you a wide variety of people. If you're looking at like r/crypto currency and such, you can really garner a good public opinion, and you'll see like a lot of people will either be bearish or bullish, and just you kind of want to look at them and see. A lot of people compare like these bull runs to previous ones and such. And so when you see these people doing that, right, and you look at the chart and you see positive price action, yeah, the fear and greed index is another good one. And you see positive price action, then that's like a good time to buy. And additionally though, another part of the strategy is kind of just looking at charts and seeing if they're kind of differing from the current market, right? Because we see all these coins are essentially following Bitcoin in a way, right? Like Bitcoin goes down, they go down by like a higher factor, just because of the pairing of Bitcoin to all these altcoins, right? In general, when Bitcoin goes down, these altcoins go down even more. And so like right now, especially where the market's very bearish, you want to be looking for those coins that start moving a little bit differently and decoupling from Bitcoin and not really reacting to the downs and ups of Bitcoin, because those are going to be the ones that stand out to everyone else versus the ones that are just following Bitcoin and doing nothing interesting.
So Trevor, the main reason that I heard for this crash was just an over-leveraged too much open interest to the upside. What do you see as the cause of this crash?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, usually any flash crash, right, is the result of Bitcoin falling below a price where people originally thought was support. And so they had a lot of leverage positions that would be liquidated around that area. And so like when you see it go below like 60, right, and it crashes is pretty hard. And then 50 was another big one, because the previous high of Bitcoin when it was going up to 65 was around 53, and then it crashed. So a lot of people were very heavily leveraged at that support level of 53,000, 52,000. And so the second that we saw it go below that, we saw these longs starting to get liquidated, and then people starting to fear that more would get liquidated. And so you'd see these, Bitcoin would fall pretty quickly, then go up a little bit, but not beating its previous high, and then falling again. And people would start getting scared. They start selling more. And then, as you said, like all these overleveraged positions start having to be liquidated because they're below their liquidation price. Mm-hmm. And then stop losses start hitting, and it causes a massive flash crash where I think it was like 20% maybe within like 5 minutes that Bitcoin lost all that value. And obviously it shoots up very quickly after. But it was definitely the leverage positions as the result of a downtrend, right, that went a little bit too low.
Interesting. And we see this big flush out of the open interest on the charts here from Glassnode. Trevor, do you use any on-chain analytics?
So I don't very much, just because I've just like looked at charts a lot, and I really like just kind of looking at charts and seeing how price action is going. So I haven't looked at many on-chain analytics, but I do, like, I don't know if you've heard of Whale Alert. It's a Twitter channel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have. Like it just kind of talks about, or it sends basically when there's big transactions with any given coin, It'll post it. And a lot of the times when you see these crashes, like a lot of the times it's influenced by big holders of Bitcoin, right? Sending a bunch of Bitcoin to exchanges. And then you see people start selling even more quickly. So that's another good metric you can look at when you have the feeling that Bitcoin is going to be going down, is you're looking at how many Bitcoin are being sent to exchanges that will probably be sold.
So let's talk altcoins for a second. Do you have any picks for us today?
So, I mean, as I said before, like I'm not buying anything until I see strength. But I think that, like, obviously the metaverse coins like Sand, Mana, are very strong picks. And you see, like, I constantly see these news articles of plots of land on Sandbox or Mana selling for millions of dollars. And so people are going to keep seeing these insane prices of virtual land and such, and they're going to want to be a part of it, right? So you're going to see a demand for Mana and Sandbox in order to purchase like land and such. And so you'll see, I think at some point their downtrends are obviously going to end, and I easily think that both Mana and Sand within the next few months will hit their all-time highs, just because of the hype of the metaverse. And as we see more metaverse news coming out, with Facebook working on it or Meta working on it, I think it'll definitely perform very well.
Okay, so totally hypothetical scenario here. Say you have 10 ETH that you want to invest in the metaverse. Are you buying plots of land, or are you buying just general tokens?
So yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, I think, and one of my friends was talking about this yesterday, I think that I would probably buy a plot of land. If I were to purchase something where I'm going to hold it for a long time, it would definitely be a plot of land, because we were talking about basically, I'm sure, are you familiar with like a holdout, right, on a house where basically like the government or a company, right, wants to buy a plot of land because it's in a certain zone where they want to develop.
Right.
And so I think a lot of people who own land on Decentraland, Mana, on any metaverse platform, right, are going to have the opportunity to sell these pieces of land to big companies that want to make like a city, like the Adidas city or whatever it may be, because I know Adidas is very involved in the metaverse. Whatever it may be, right, they're going to want to purchase land next to each other. And so I think a lot of people are going to basically just hold that land and stay stern until the price gets very high. And so you'll see the price of these virtual pieces of land skyrocketing, because you have so many big institutions who want to advertise or be involved in the metaverse trying to buy this land. And then you have these people who want to sell it, but for a higher price. I think you're going to see the price of this stuff skyrocket.
Very interesting. Trevor, what else are you looking at these days? Is there anything else you want to talk about or share with us?
I mean, so as I said, I'm watching Ethereum, right? I'm waiting for it to start kind of outperforming Bitcoin and ignoring these dips that you see every day. But I mean, other than that, I like also Request recently partnered with Sand to settle transactions, I believe. And Request is a pretty low cap currency. It saw in that day that it partnered with Sand like a 400% increase. And I think that at some point very soon that could happen again. I'm just waiting to see some strength out of REC, because right now it's kind of just, it's in the zone of like 40 to 45 cents and not doing anything interesting. But that's definitely another one. Anything like these projects that are connected to metaverse in any way, but not necessarily metaverse themselves, are very strong, because you'll see a higher demand for those coins when metaverse becomes more popular. And then as a result, the partnered projects, then coins become more in demand, if I may. And so, sorry, continue.
No, I was going to ask you another question. If you're not finished with your thought, then go ahead.
So I just like finishing up. I think that these projects that are related to the metaverse in any way are very good investments as well, just because, you know, in crypto, a lot of price action is based on trends, right? You see Mana going up, Sand, Engine, all these NFT coins, Playdapp, all going up together. And so basically I'm going to hop on those trends and purchase those coins within those sectors that haven't gone up yet, but are showing like strength potential.
Mm-hmm. So you're like almost 100% a trader, right? Do you have any of your portfolio in long-term investments?
So I'm trying to basically, when I do make money trading, I'll put some of the profits into like a long-term investment, just because I don't think it's a good idea to be kind of like trading with my entire portfolio at all times. So I definitely I mean, it's very tempting, right? But I definitely think that Ethereum is a great long-term hold. AVAX as well. AVAX, Bank of America just said yesterday that they believe that AVAX, the scalability of AVAX is a viable alternative to Ethereum. So AVAX is another big one that we've seen perform very well recently. And even today, while everything is down, AVAX is up like 20%. So I think that AVAX is another really good pick that I would look into. But yeah, other than that, I would pretty much just hold ETH long-term just because I know that it's going to be the main smart contract platform for cryptocurrencies. And with the new burning mechanic, demand is going to keep increasing. So I can't see it not going much higher in the near future.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that one. Trevor, you don't have to tell us, but what kind of gains have you seen so far in 2021? What kind of multiplier on your portfolio?
It's been pretty high. And I think it's mostly because like a lot of the times these Coinbase listings, right, they go up a lot. And one of the easy things to do, right, is these listings. What I like to see with them is once they're listed, right, there's a whole new set of buyers. And so you see a lot.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Got a positive price action in the weeks after, right? Like I think AVAX was listed on Coinbase at 68, and within the next few weeks, it was then at like 150. We saw Solana get listed on Coinbase at $22, I believe. It hit $250. These coins, right, there's so much positive price action. Jasmine as well got listed on Coinbase at, I think it was five cents, and it hit $35 within the next few weeks. So what I like to do is look at these coins that have been listed and see how price action's going with them. And usually you'll see them go up right away immediately on that day and then down because like you have the hype of the list and then they go down, but then they slowly recover. And so I like purchasing those a lot. And I mean, the gains from them are very strong. So I'm not going to say a number because it's hard to even like know which number, but it was in the realm of like 5,000% at a given point. So
you're ridiculous, man. All right. Last not question. Yeah, then we have another interview. So we had a follower reach out to me on Twitter yesterday, and he said if this show, the stream today, can get 69 likes, he'll get a moon or bust tattoo. So do you have any recommendations, Trevor, on what this tattoo should look like? Any ideas for us?
I don't know. I mean, There's a lot of good ideas you could throw in there. Maybe like a Bitcoin or the moon. Yeah, like there's the man on the moon. You see like a face on the moon. I think it'd be funny if it was a moon, but the man with the face on the moon was actually like a crypto or Bitcoin or something.
Yeah, could do that.
Yeah, we got that moon or bust logo that I drew.
That
up.
Seems like and a reasonable.
We also get to choose
tattoo.
The location. We also get to choose the location. Should we just put Ryan's
Twitter
on his
forehead?
It's going
on his forehead. No, it's definitely going on.
Perfect.
All right, Trevor, thanks for stopping by today. Thank you for all the alpha that you've shared with us. Is there anywhere that the audience can connect with you, or are you not on socials at all?
I have like Instagram and stuff, but it's not like meant for crypto, but I have like an email, so you can of course email me and just private message me if you want to chat, and I would love to talk.
All right, Trevor, thanks so much. You gotta make a crypto Twitter account.
Sure.
For next time you come on. But that's it for today. Thank you so much for stopping by, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Logan. Later on.
See ya.
All right, Ryan, who do we have next on Moon or Bust today?
Oh, well, we'll be talking to Cynthia from DTrail, really cool girl making things in Web3. She started a DAO for DTrail. The travel token actually just came out, I think, a couple weeks ago, so we have a lot to cover. I think we should get right into it.
All right, sounds good. So without further... Oh, wait, no, hold on. One comment. Who
Wrong
thought
comment.
It was a good
Wrong
idea?
Comment, Logan. Clowns, don't put that one on.
Benzinga. Oh, boy. All right. Cynthia, welcome to Moon or Bust.
Hey, Logan. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on today. Where are you talking to us from?
I'm currently in Vancouver, Canada, but I was just in Lisbon. I'm a bit of a nomad, so moving around. Mm-hmm. Hopefully COVID doesn't stop me from following my nomadic dreams.
Awesome. So before we talk crypto, Cynthia, I know you were an Airbnb host for 7 years. Can you talk to us about that experience and maybe some of the issues that you set out to fix with your platform?
Yeah, definitely. So I went to San Francisco in 2014, and that was obviously where Airbnb started. Learned about Airbnb, thought it was really, really cool. Came back to Vancouver and then decided to rent out a room. I was one of the first hosts in Vancouver, and at the time it was super weird. My friends thought it was really weird because it wasn't even like a separate suite. It was this room. And then I had a get together and my friends were like, oh, there's a stranger in your room. And it was just like a bit awkward, even though I thought it was fine. But I just fell in love with hosting from the beginning, but really struggled at that time to even understand what hosting was, what it meant to be on Airbnb, what it meant to be a good host. And so I ended up starting this forum with my husband because we wanted to solve our own problems of understanding what hosting was. Because if you Googled Airbnb or hosting at the time, there were a lot of scary stories like, oh, apartment trashed. You know, it was just, I think there was like a lot of what I would call fun. But we really wanted to have a place where we'd bring a community together to actually learn about hosting. And so, you know, been a host for over 7 years, and I've seen the home sharing space obviously evolve a lot. And I think one of the problems we really want to solve at DTravel is this idea of being community first, because I think home sharing has moved a bit away from that. And then also just even changing the dynamic between a platform and hosts and guests, because we really want to be bottoms up and involve the community from the beginning. And then because hosts and guests are really the ones that contribute the most value because they're the ones using the platform, we want to have them share in the benefit and growth of that. So I think that's a big part of what we're really trying to solve with DTravel and giving everybody a voice and ownership.
Ryan, you got the next question.
So Cynthia, how many properties are on DTravel right now? Am I muted? Oh,
nope.
Yeah. So Cynthia, how many properties are on DTravel right now? And I'm interested to know.
I think he cut out. All right. I'll just take this question.
Okay, cool.
How many properties are on DTravel right now? And are you seeing the most of your interest and adoption from renters or from the hosts?
Yeah, so we actually just had a milestone. We have over 250,000 properties in over 20,000 locations. And so we've had like a massive support from the host community. And it's really interesting because, you know, it's really surprising actually the crossover between hosts and people who are crypto natives. And what I keep hearing from the community is this is something that I've been waiting for so long. And I'm like so excited about this new kind of home sharing experience that you guys are enabling. So I think there's a need that's been there for a while. And anybody who has been in the space for a while and has also been interested on the travel or home sharing side with crypto has heard of projects like Btoken. I was also an early investor, was super excited when they launched, but I think they lack the industry knowledge and expertise in how to actually execute on that vision. And I think the timing wasn't right, you know, infrastructure, crypto adoption, et cetera. But I think right now is really the perfect time where we have this massive surge of people coming into crypto. We have a lot of interest in crypto, both from mainstream audiences, but also from institutions and brands. And I think it's just like the technology is at a place where we can actually scale and build a platform like this and get people to use it. So yeah, it's just been really incredible to see support from both hosts and guests as well, people who in the crypto world want a place to spend their crypto.
What do you see as your biggest advantage as a platform over Airbnb, besides the fact that I can, you know, purchase the place in crypto?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's something we get asked all the time, you know. And I'm going to say this over and over again, but we're not just another home sharing platform that accepts cryptocurrency. Really, at our core, we're just building something completely different because of the DAO. And so from day one, we're saying we want to be community-led, community-owned, and everybody who contributes that growth. We have over 90 million TRVL that we've allocated to the community. So if you are a host or a guest or even a community member, you can actually contribute to that growth and benefit from it. And so I think that's just a very different paradigm that doesn't exist in Web2. Like Web2 organizations and structures just don't enable those kind of relationships and incentive mechanisms, whereas Web3 does. And so being a native Web3 project, that means that we can actually do things like this, which I think just has such a different relationship between our hosts and guests and community members and us, because we're building together rather than us saying, hey, we're going to build and then actually be the primary beneficiaries of this.
Awesome. So the travel token just came out recently. Could you tell us a little bit about this? And then maybe we can get to the DAO in a minute.
Yeah, definitely. So we did launch our TRVL token on November 26th. Prior to that, we had it on four different launch platforms with MEXC, Bybit, Gate, and PokerStarter, and had massive support from the community. I think we had over 60,000 participants across all the different events. So that was just really exciting for us to see that kind of support from everybody. And then the tokens launched now. So you can get the token on Gate, MEXC, Bybit, and KuCoin. And then we'll be adding more partners as well. So we'll be also adding a lot more utility. You can pay with TRVL, obviously, on DTravel. And then you can also pay with TRVL on Travala, which is more focused on traditional hotels and flights.
And Cynthia, sorry I cut out earlier, but I'm actually interested in knowing about the tokenomics of the travel token, if you could speak to that just a little bit.
Yeah. Anything specific you want me to cover just so that I can focus
just
my
like
answers?
The issuance rate, maybe the max supply, like how you plan on using the tokens going out, moving over the next 5 years or whatever you have planned.
Yeah, great. So we have 1 billion in total supply and we're on Ethereum and BSC chain right now. In terms of the different funds, so we've allocated 50% to different community funds and then 50% will stay with the treasury essentially. But because we are really community focused, that's why we've actually allocated 50% towards the two community funds that we have. And as I mentioned earlier, we have 95 million tokens that will actually go towards the community to fund different growth initiatives. Because again, we really want to build with the community and we actually want to reward our early adopters for being a part of that. And then I think basically over 5 years, that's when the initial tranche for investors and team members will get distributed. So it's a fairly long issuance cycle.
Okay, cool. And when you talk about the treasury, just to clarify, you're talking about the community-owned DAO, not the actual company itself?
Yeah, that's right. So the foundation holds about 50% and then 50% will go towards two community treasuries.
Okay.
To fund different initiatives in the community. And more details will be shared on that. But one of the subcommittees for the funds is our host DAO. And so for anybody in the community who wants to put forth proposals that benefit DTravel, then we'll fund those initiatives and obviously give the community a vote on what they want to see funded.
Cynthia, how big are these DAOs right now? How active are they? And are they making hiring decisions with the team that you work on?
Yeah, so the first grant that we had was actually towards Genesis Partners, which is one of the contributors towards DTravel. And one of the big focus for us for 2022 is around DAO infrastructure and tooling. For anybody who is obviously familiar with DAOs, there's a lot of infrastructure that has to be built, both on treasury management, participation, rewards, et cetera, because I think one of the difficult parts is when somebody does contribute to the DAO, how do you actually reward them? And how do you ensure that the quality of the work that they're putting forward is what you expect? So those are the problems we're trying to solve initially. And then we do expect to have some proposals that are put forth early next year. And then we'll also obviously be involving the community through surveys, polls, et cetera, while we're starting to build out some of those initiatives as well.
Awesome, Ryan. Do you want to ask about the smart contracts?
Yeah, sure. I think we skipped the one before, but so the travel token is built on Ethereum. It's an ERC-20 token. Is the application also built on Ethereum? And if so, do you have any plans to get around some of those high gas fee problems right now going on within Ethereum's network?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So we do have a bridge to BSC. So, you know, you can purchase TRVL on BSC right now. We are looking at different solutions as well for the payment side. One of the things that we're launching is our own Dtravel wallet. So that's one way to, when we give guests who book through Dtravel, they get rewards on every booking that they make. And so they'll actually get those rewards in their in-app wallet. So that will help with some of the gas fees. And then we are looking into other potential solutions, whether that's like probably a layer two at this point, so that we can obviously mitigate those gas fees, because nobody likes paying a lot of money for that.
Have you looked at Avalanche at all as well, or just layer twos?
We're considering many different options. Yeah, I think obviously there are a lot of really great solutions out there for both layer ones and layer two. And we have to think about what makes sense for us long term, what's going to be around, what's sustainable, what kind of community they have.
Yeah, that all makes sense. What kind of tasks do smart contracts automate on Dtravel's website?
So right now we haven't incorporated a lot of smart contracts yet, but then once we build out the DAO tooling, that's one of the things that we'll actually have. We're working on a really exciting initiative that can't talk too much about right now, but it's around getting other communities involved in voting for what they want as a payment option on Dtravel.
So say that a host has like either a password lock for their unit or like some lockbox pickup key. Could you potentially use a smart contract to automate that, where once the renter deposits their funds, then the access to the room could be granted by the smart contract automatically?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of options. One of the other things I've seen are NFTs. So you could issue a temporary NFT that gives you access to the unit. I think that there's definitely a lot of potential here. And over the next year, we'll see a lot of tooling for NFTs as well. So those are all things that we're exploring. And I think this is where the community fund will really come into play, because obviously we want people who have a lot of experience and knowledge and passion in this area to contribute as well. And so we want to fund those initiatives too.
Awesome.
And you guys have a premium member NFT, speaking of NFTs, already on your platform, right? So what kind of perks does this give owners of the premium membership?
So we haven't launched this yet. We're still working on what the NFT will look like. And one of the things that we're actually looking at is involving the community early on and what those perks might be. So, you know, obvious things are increased rewards when you make a booking if you're a VIP holder. Different exclusive travel drops based on different listings from our platform. But, you know, because we are community led, we want to involve the community to say, what do you guys think is valuable? So we're going to be doing that pretty soon.
Very cool. And you guys also have something called the protection pool for hosts. How does this protection pool work? And how are some of these decisions made to allocate funds to hosts, say, if something goes wrong with a rental?
Yeah, great question. So this is actually one of the pieces I'm super excited about, because it's one that we're innovating on. So for anybody who has hosted before, one of the really scary things is, you know, what happens if somebody damages my property? And because we have a lot of experience in the home sharing space, we wanted to make sure to give hosts peace of mind. So right when TRVL launched, we moved over $1 million into a protection pool. And that basically offers property protection should there be any issues that arise from a booking. And the really neat part is that because we are a Web3 native project, we actually use DeFi to grow that pool over time. And then 1% of bookings will actually go into that pool as well. So there's basically two growth mechanisms. One is 1% of all bookings, so that fund continues to grow. But then additionally, we'll use DeFi to continue to grow that pool. So you have that sort of exponential growth from two areas.
Cynthia, do I need to KYC myself to spend crypto on your website?
We're actually making a little bit of change to this. So one of the things that's really interesting about home sharing is that, you know, you are essentially inviting a stranger into your home, and that comes with a lot of concerns. And right now we do have a KYC process if you want to book a guest, because we obviously want to make sure that both parties are protected. And I think with anybody who's purchased crypto, that's fairly common that you have to go through a KYC process. And we're looking at potentially, you know, how we can, the experience right now is actually fairly seamless. We're using a product that makes it really easy to do that, but we're figuring out ways to make that a little bit less intrusive. But I think at our core, trust and safety is really important. And so we don't necessarily want to put our hosts in a place where they don't feel safe.
Interesting. So I definitely wouldn't want to spend any of my ETH right now because I expect it to go up, right? So could I use a credit card or a debit card? Are there other non-crypto ways to use your platform right now?
We actually have USDT. So, you know, if you wanted to spend stablecoin, you could do that. You could also spend TRVL. But we're looking at adding fiat options later. Really, the focus for us is proving out DTravel and understanding both our hosts and guests from the crypto audience, because that's obviously who we resonate with initially. And it'll be a continuum where we focus on crypto native adopters initially, and then once we really understand that core user base and how they think about the experience of what they care about, both on the host and the guest side, then we'll start to bring in more mainstream people. Because I think, you know, if you try and explain the crypto side to them, it might be a little bit complicated. So we want to really understand what people care about first, and then iterate on that before we bring in more mainstream people.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was just about to ask a question, like, do you think that the mainstream audience will see the benefits of a DAO or all these crypto Web3 native aspects that you're incorporating? But yeah, like, so what do you see as the most valuable right now? If you had to take a guess at what you would use to attract the retail audience, what would you say at this point?
I think, you know, with this explosion in DAOs and then also this focus on Web3 as a whole, I think people are really expecting this different relationship, right? Incentives being more aligned and really having that ownership and being able to drive different decisions. I think that's what really appeals to the people who are in crypto right now. And I think even with like this explosion in NFTs and people coming in this way, I think it's really about community and people being really fascinated by being a part of that. And so the DAO and having that ownership is really core to our value proposition and fundamentally how we're different.
Yeah, and speaking about the DAO, Cynthia, like, what role does the DAO play within the ecosystem? And maybe talk about, you know, the treasury and how the DAO raises funds.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of the ecosystem, so with DTravel, we have the DAO. But one of the things we're also looking at is potentially travel is a huge opportunity. And so how can we look outside of just home sharing, but solve some of the other problems? And I think because we have this really ambitious goal of being the largest DAO, especially with more of a mainstream audience, one of the things we need to solve for is how do we make participation in DAOs, whether that's governance or voting or actually like contributing to it, how do we make it so easy and seamless that theoretically anybody can do it? And that's part of what we're focusing on for the next year. But things like our in-app wallet, where you can spend it and it's just like any other digital wallet, you don't have to interact with the blockchain layer, or, you know, how do you vote maybe through our in-app wallet or some other mechanism that doesn't require you to figure out how to, again, interact with on-chain transactions. So these are some of the problems we're trying to solve. And I think when we figure out some of the mechanisms that we can use to solve this problem, a lot of other DAOs can use it as well if they want to bring in more of a consumer or mainstream audience. And then in terms of how we're funded, so the different community funds will fund different growth initiatives. As I mentioned to Logan earlier, we do have our first grant that went to Genesis Partners, which is one of the entities that is contributing to DTravel. And so the community funds will continue to fund different initiatives.
That's awesome. And how can you join the DAO right now? I know you said it's a little bit of a process, but if somebody wanted to join DTravel's DAO, what's the process of doing that?
So we'll be launching a Discord, and that's going to be the best way for people to start getting involved and just really understanding what DTravel and the DAO is about, and providing their input as well as where they want to see it going.
Awesome.
Yeah, you'll have to share a link with us in case anyone out there wants to get involved. Would you say that's the best place for hosts and renters to get started as well, or where would you recommend that they go?
So I think checking out DTravel is a good starting point. And then we have a Telegram channel right now. We'll, as I mentioned, we'll be migrating to Discord, but for right now, Telegram is one of the places. We also have a pretty active Twitter account. So for anybody who wants to see what we're about, what kind of updates we have, that's a good place to follow. And then we are reaching out to our host community. So we're doing interviews with them right now to understand what they care about, what kind of tools we can build that will really serve their needs, not just as another home sharing platform, but actually something that they would do differently that doesn't exist today.
Awesome. Are there any other cool things that, that you guys are working on that we missed? Anything else you want to share with us? The floor is yours.
Awesome. Yeah, I think one of the things that's been really exciting to see is that obviously home sharing is a massive opportunity within within the crypto space, but I think travel as a whole is also a really massive opportunity, and there's really not a lot happening there. So we're looking at other ways that we could potentially do more there. And actually, one of the things that we didn't talk about, which I'm really excited about, is our support to earn program. So this is for anybody who's a crypto gamer really into the Axie world. It's a play on that play to earn. And what we want to do with the program, which is funded under the Community Growth Fund, is really to involve the community in us scaling up. So when we have bookings, there's obviously going to be support tickets. And, you know, rather than hiring a team around that, we want to involve the community to get involved and then actually benefit from contributing their experience and their time. So that's something that we're working on fleshing out right now. And that's something we're super excited because it hasn't really been done. And I think this is solving one of those issues around how do you reward contributors in a DAO and do it in a way that is equitable, fair, transparent, and also automated.
I think that's awesome. So when can we look to see the full suite, full featured product available for use?
Oh, the booking platform is actually already live. So you can book right now over 250,000 listings. And yeah, you can pay in TRVL and get rewarded on every booking. You can also pay in ETH, BTC, and USDT.
Awesome. Thank you so much. If you want to give any last shout outs or tell the people where to connect with you personally, feel free.
Yeah, we're DTravel DAO on Twitter. And then you guys shared our website, dtravel.com. Feel free to reach out if you guys need anything. And please definitely think about us when you book your next home sharing experience.
Most definitely. And Cynthia, we'd love to try out your product at some point.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for stopping by
today.
Thanks
so much.
Yep.
Okay. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Ryan, we didn't get our free trip. Dang it.
It's in the works. Don't worry. It'll happen. Okay. DTravel vlog to Ibiza. It'll be a great sponsorship for the show.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't see any way where this doesn't work out. We just use DTravel from now on. Get some travel tokens, join the DAO, and travel the world. Be nomads with Cynthia. Join the lifestyle.
Yeah, no, I did forget to save for free. That would have been key. Let's see if there's any update on the Adidas NFT situation for you guys. Last minute, I know there's some comments out there asking about it. So looks like right now minting is still paused. Basically, what happened is they messed up the snapshot. So the mutant apes were not able to claim it like they were supposed to, and they didn't stop it until half of the pre-release NFTs were already gone. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull it back together at this point. But you know what I'm very disappointed about is that we do not have 69 likes, and so our fateful viewer is not going to get the tattoo. Come on, guys. If we could just get how many? We got 50 likes right now. We got 116 people watching. Okay, if we can get 19 more likes, homeboy Mangekyo, I don't even know how to say it, Mangekyo.eth, will get a moon or bust tattoo. We got to put Ryan's Twitter on his forehead. Come on, guys. Okay, four more likes. We just got him. Okay, 15 left. We have 2 minutes. Oh, shoot, guys. Hurry
it up. Down to the wire. I am sweating buckets right now.
I know, man. Me too. Maybe we'll have to give it another shot next time. But, I mean, it's so much to ask of our loyal viewer here. We got 60 likes. Okay, 9 more, guys. 9 more, and Mangekko will get the moon or bust tattoo. This is a big milestone for our show, and we need your help to make it happen. I'm gonna keep.
We'll definitely have to. Definitely have to send him a swag pack if he actually ends up going through with this.
Oh,
just all the moon or bust merch, so he can rep every day alongside his tattoo.
Every single piece. Oh, he's getting nervous. 63 likes. Come on now. Oh, 62. Who unliked it? God damn it, mom. Okay, so maybe I don't know. I don't think that there's anything more important than getting these likes at this point. But if you guys have anything you want to talk about, feel free to drop a comment. We could chat about it in the meantime. But smash the like, hand on the Bible. Mangekko is going to get a moon or bust tattoo. If we can get four more likes, wake up from whatever else you're doing. We got 100 people in here. We can easily get it right now. We're at 67. Two likes for the tattoo. We have 30 seconds left in the show, guys. Come on. Quickly. We need 67 still. All right. All the marbles are resting on these last 15 seconds right now. 68. Come on, guys.
One more, guys.
I got to log on to my other account.
Maybe I need this to go count. On and like this it.
Count. Ryan, you didn't even like the stream.
I didn't today, like man. It. That's cheating. I can't no, do that not. To my viewer.
Uh-oh.
70. Let's go.
We got it. We got it.
This is hype. Okay. Well, it's definitely not going on his forehead. We can't be that mean.
But if you guys have any ideas, if you guys have any ideas for where we should get this tattoo on mangekko.eth, hit us up. Let us know. We will come back to you with more info next time on Monday's episode, Proof or Ban. Just like Moon or Bust, he says he's getting it, and we're going to have him on the show. We're going to bring him on to talk to us and maybe show off his tattoo if he's comfortable with it. But Adidas Originals just tweeted, unrelated to the NFT drop. I got hyped there for a second, but we got the homies in the chat. That has been Moon or Bust today. Thank you so much for 75 likes on today's episode. Y'all really made it happen. The Moon or Bust community is strong. Reach out to us on Twitter. Say what's up. I've been talking to a lot of the audience out there lately, so I'd be happy to reach out to you guys as well. Just tap in. Ryan, any thoughts for us before we close today's episode?
I mean, you can always tap into my Twitter too. You know how it goes. But no additional thoughts, Logan. It's been a good episode. I am very happy we got 69 likes. So that's awesome. And I'll see you Monday. Nice watch.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.